The sermon this morning is on pandemic fatigue and the Christian life. And we're going to learn some lessons from Elijah. Okay. We know that Elijah is a very special prophet. In fact, he was one of the greatest prophets. The Jews regarded him as one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. And that is why the Old Testament, in the New Testament time, they were looking for the return of Elijah. Elijah didn't die. He was taken up to heaven by God. So when the Messiah come, Elijah will come first and then the Messiah. So that's why when John the Baptist came, they asked him, "Are you the Elijah?" And John the Baptist said, "No." They asked Jesus, "Are you Elijah?" "No," Jesus says. Okay, and then we saw Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he represents the prophets, and Moses was there. He represents the law. So you see, Elijah is such a significant influence on the history and the theology of the Christian life that we can take some lessons from it. And in the 1 Kings 19, now before that, Elijah was against King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, because these two are the worst king of Judah. And you find that at that time, Elijah was hiding away because he prophesies that there will be no rain for 3.5 years in Israel. And without rain, they cannot grow crops. The water dries up. People are thirsty. The economy comes to a crash, a standstill. And you cannot wash. So there are disease and famine. And King Ahab has sent soldiers all over the country and even outside. And Elijah was hiding for these 3.5 years. Can you imagine the stress of being a refugee? That any moment you've been discovered, brought back to King Ahab and be killed. Then after 3.5 years, just before Kings 19, okay, in 18, God says, go back to Israel. Go back and confront King Ahab on Mount Carmel. Okay, and see which God is stronger, Yahweh or Baal. And that is what happened. You find that if you read Kings 18 and the power encounter actually went up to Carmel and they says, okay, let's challenge to see which God is greater. Okay, each of us, okay, Elijah alone versus the 450 prophets of Baal and the supporters. And say, let's just set an altar. Let's sacrifice an ox. And then we put them on the wood and we call down from fire from heaven. Okay, if whoever's God that can send down fire from heaven will win. And that's what happens. Okay, we know from the biblical accounts that the prophets of Baal couldn't bring down fire from heaven. Okay, they sacrificed the ox, they put it on, laid on the wood, but they couldn't, there's no fire from heaven. Now Elijah's turn, he set up the wood and then he asked them to pour water on it to make sure that it's not dry. 3 times he did it. Then he sacrificed the ox and he laid on the altar and he called down fire and fire came and burned up the sacrifice, proving that God, Yahweh, is the only God. So that is a very powerful encounter, and it takes a lot of energy. And you must think that, oh, Elijah at this time must be very high, having an emotional high, having a mountaintop experience. And that's where we come to our worst. It's interesting that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, King Jezebel, after hearing that all the priests and priestesses of Baal were killed, some historical account says that Queen Jezebel was actually a priestess of Baal. So she told Elijah, says, I will kill you. And on hearing this death threat, which is not new, because King Ahab has been trying to kill him for 3.5 years, Elijah broke down and he ran. You see, verse 3, he says that Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. Okay, Elijah, the one who can stop rain for 3.5 years, the one who can stand before Carmel, before the Baal, and call down fire from heaven. And then after that, he can run faster than chariots. Okay, he's greater than Superman. Yet he ran for his life and he came to Beersheba in Judah. He left his servant there. And in biblical times, when you leave your servant, means you're leaving your ministry, you're leaving your life. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. Why does he do that? He went to, came to a broom tree, a bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. You know, this great man of God is being suicidal. He's been so burned out that he says, I want to die. He gave up his ministry, he left his servant, walked into the wilderness and says, I have had enough, Lord, he says. Take my life. Yeah, because he said that after all that he did, he felt that there was no change. The people didn't believe him, didn't turn back towards Yahweh. Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. That may have been the end of the story, because then he would have committed suicide after he wake up. But all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and says, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. And I'm very touched when I read this, because God cares. He sent his angels to minister. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So this is the mountain that God spoke to the people, to his ancestors. And he says, I'm not better than my ancestors. He went back to the same cave. And when he was in the cave, the word of the Lord came to him. Okay, that's the cave that Moses was in. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, he's so used to the Lord that he didn't freak out when the Lord spoke to him. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. Okay? I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. You know, God, you know, I've been trying to serve you all these years and now there's nothing left. And if they're trying to kill me, not everything is in ashes. Then the Lord says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And that's very interesting. And God says, okay, I hear you. Now you stand out of the cave. Okay, but, you know, careful, because no one can see me and live. So Elijah stood outside the cave, and there was a great and powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You often think that, you know, the Lord will come with powerful wind, gush wind, you know, tornadoes, typhoons. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Now we often expect spectacles, but the Lord came in a gentle whisper. And Elijah heard the whisper, and he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice came to him, this soft, gentle voice. It says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Same question. And Elijah answered the same way. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelite has rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. It's like broken record like that. He keep on repeating the same thing. And what did the Lord say? And the Lord says to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Okay, and that king will replace the present king, who is he's a hostile enemy of Israel. And also anoint Jehu, son of Nishi, king over Israel, meaning that to replace King Ahab. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. In other words, God is revealing his plan to him, that you replace the king of Aram, Israel's greatest enemy, replace King Ahab, which is a bad king, and we have to replace you too. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha to put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet, I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouth have not kissed him. I think that's a great revelation. That Elijah, you're not the only one left. There are 7,000. No, I'm the Lord. Okay, and God bless the reading of his word, because it's so powerful. You see? And we are in a pandemic fatigue. Okay, because, I mean, 1.5 years already, we have been all in lockdown, maybe released out a bit for good behavior, and then lockdown again. You know, and we are all so used to being inside the house. Okay, some of us consider it a joy, some consider it a prison, but whatever that is, it does have some effect on us. And we know that there are a lot of pressure, because even though we are in lockdown, we are still in the world. You know, we worry about our job, we worry about our finances, we worry about our country, we worry about the security, we worry about a lot of things. And you see, And the main thing is the stress of a career, the pressure, deadlines, debts, business, damage, failure. So all these are in a way contributing. And if you look at the Elijah, now he got burnout. After 3.5 years of his ministry, of running away, and his power encounter, he got burnout. And we are burnout too. No, don't think that just being at home, doing nothing, so-called nothing, in a pandemic, doesn't burn you out. As you can see, all this stress are there. And pandemic is actually a burnout. And what are the features of a pandemic fatigue? Well, there's a decline in compliance with mask wearing and social distancing. Okay, we always look and say, hey, these people are so bad, they don't follow the rules. Now you see, they're all coming out and spreading the virus. Well, I think we are all suffering from pandemic fatigue. And one of the symptoms is that we cannot stand it anymore. Okay, we need to go out. We need to go to the shopping mall. We need to see other people. We need to talk to people. And why must we be wearing masks? Look, the numbers are better. And don't we need to wear masks? Some of us are very anxious. Having anxiety, if briefly passing by someone who isn't wearing a mask. So, you know, in the beginning, we don't want to wear masks. Now, we must wear masks. If people don't wear masks, then we want to feel like saying, hey, go and wear your mask. Tired even after getting enough sleep. So we sleep, but we are not rested. Because in a pandemic, we are under stress. So it's not a restful sleep. There's a lack of motivation or feeling like you don't have a sense of purpose. This sense of not centered. That's pandemic fatigue. You know, I mean, I'm sure at the beginning of the pandemic last year, you're saying, oh, now I got time. I will write a book. I will design, draw a beautiful painting. I will do a sculpture. I'll take 5 or 6 courses. And none of this. 1.5 years later, you've done anything? No, I don't think so. It's a lack of motivation. Sometimes you don't even feel like getting up before noon. You just want to get up in time for lunch. Snapping a loved one, become very irritable. What you say? Why? Why? Huh? Feeling depressed and isolated. So these are signs and symptoms of the pandemic fatigue. And do you have any of them? We know that there is actually many studies coming out showing that, 78% of the global workforce says that the pandemic has negatively affected their mental health. So it's not you alone. All of us are affected. Okay. And 85% says that interfering with their sleep. So again, you're not the only one that cannot sleep well. Okay, and having weird dreams. And 68% says that I wish I have somebody to talk to, which is quite interesting. Okay, and seeing that now we have phones, we have Facebook, we have social media, we have Telegram, we have Instagram, we have the phone, Zoom, luck. And yet we lack people to talk to. So what are the main emotions? The main emotions of pandemic fatigue. It's fatigue, you're tired. Yeah, fatigue is not just tired, but you know, it's just like uncentered. You don't know what is happening, you know, and you just don't feel like doing, loss of motivation and anxious. Okay, there's this free-floating anxiety. You don't know why you're anxious, but you're anxious. And you feel angry all the time. You don't know why you're angry, but you feel angry. You feel like smashing things, doors, and hopefully not person. and please don't kick your cat or dog. So that is pandemic fatigue. How about Christians? Do Christians have suffer from it? I'm sure we do. Okay, we are not immune. Okay, and how has that affected our spiritual life? So I'm going to draw four lessons from Elijah on a pandemic fatigue. And that is to rest, refresh, review, and receive. Okay, so you see that there are certain lessons we can learn. Okay, first is to rest. I think it's important to make time to sleep, even though we don't sleep very well. Okay, that you have adequate sleep. You find that Elijah, what's the first thing he did? He slept. And most of us are very tired. And this pandemic has actually given us time to repay our sleep debt, so to speak. So rest is sleep, okay, comfortable environment to sleep in and not be disturbed, adequate rest. Okay, that's what Elijah has. The rest under the tree, cool, sleep, wake up, being served, eat, sleep again. So adequate rest. I think that's important in the pandemic, that we need to rest. Okay? And that is very important, rest in terms of now we have a very unique opportunity because we don't have to go to work. Okay, for those who are not working in the essential services, you are at home most of the time. So you need to rest. You need to find time to relax. Okay, because a lot of we feel that because we're not working, you're not going to the office or the factory, we don't need to rest, but we do, because we are not only affected physically, but we also affected emotionally and spiritually. So we still need to take the Sabbath, need to go to church. Well, we can't attend church service physically, but we need to go emotionally. We need to attend it online, to attend small group studies, because these are adequate rest. And we need to set adequate boundaries. Yeah, I know we are all stuck in an apartment, a condo, a flat, a house. Those who are lucky have a house. Okay, we're stuck with family. You know, I know it's good to be with family, but after a while, you know, day in, day out, 24 hours, it gets on your nerves sometimes, and you wish that you can have, but you need to have boundaries. Okay, boundaries is important, especially for those who work at home. Okay, now work at home, the difficult part is knowing when to stop work and when to start work. Okay, especially if you work by Zoom. Now, the same table, the same computer that you do your work is also the same computer that you play games and watch the Netflix and watch movies and talk to your friends. So there is no boundaries anymore. So how do you tell when are you coming back, when you're working? Because when we're working, there is a certain level of tension. When we are watching Netflix or like, we are relaxed. So when you sit at the table, your body has to decide, are you working or are you relaxing? That's why it's important. Some people have different places, different parts of the house. Okay, I find that it's helpful for me that I sit in my table is to do work. I sit in my lazy chair is to read. And I sit in the downstairs in my living room is to relax. Okay, so different part of the house have a different mode for me. That are my boundaries. And that's why today I'm wearing a tie, because that tells me I'm preaching. I'm not chit-chatting or coffee with friends. So we need to have boundaries, to set boundaries, especially in this difficult time. And also we need to be refreshed. You find that important is food, Okay, I know that Asians' food is very important. Okay, we can't eat together, but we can eat separately. I mean, yesterday I organized a, or I was sponsored a fellowship meal for my medical students. Yeah, get food delivery is a blessing because we can get food delivered to all of them, and then we eat together. Okay, separately. That means in your own home, we eat together. So we need food. Okay, so don't stinge and don't forget that even though in lockdown, we need good nutritious food, good food. Okay, I know that some of you think that, oh, this is a good time to lose weight, to go on some special diet, like no fat or a lot of fat, no protein or a lot of protein, no carbohydrate or a lot of carbohydrate, all combinations of above. Okay. Yes, it is, but it's very stressful to be on a diet. So have to be careful. Adequate exercise. Make time and plan for some exercise. Okay, even walking around the house. Now that MCO, you cannot walk outside. Yeah, you have to walk around the house, up and down the stairs, if you have stairs. Okay, in and out of the bathroom if you must. But walk around. And this is also a good time for some to do some self-examination. Okay, so, and that is, you find that that's very interesting in that component or in the scripture we read. God asks, what are you doing here, Elijah? I mean, that's a funny question, isn't it? God is God. He knows everything. So why does he need? So the question is actually not for God. God knows, but it's for Elijah. And you find that Elijah's answer, okay, give you a sort of picture into his mindset. Okay, in Kings chapter 19, 10, verse 10 and verse 14, he actually say the same thing. Okay, he's repeating the same thing. He says, I've been very zealous and I'm doing everything, but the Israelites have turned down, rejected you, and killed your prophets. So I am here because of that. But God is trying to say that, what are you doing here, Elijah? Do some self-examination. Find out, what are you doing here? And I think that this lockdown is actually a good time for you. Okay, you can put your name there in the blank. Okay, what are you, John? What are you, Thomas? What are you, Elizabeth? What are you, Jenny, doing here? Okay. A time for us to do some self-examination and to check, are we okay with our life? Is our life heading in the right direction where we want to be? Or have we been sidetracked? Okay, so that's why use this pandemic lockdown to re-examine your life, to re-examine yourself and say, are you okay or not? Do you need to change direction? Do you need to get help, learn a new skill? And the third, and I think very important point is to, it reveals. Okay, God shows himself to Elijah, not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. And what basically God is saying to Elijah is that I have been with you in the air, in the water, in the earth. I have been with you all this time. The wind blow away the cloud so there's no rain. And the earth dries up. But I am been with you. Only thing you didn't recognize, realize it. I think that's God also telling us that, yeah, it is difficult between lockdown and all that, but God is with us. Only that we can't see it. And we can't see it not because it's not, but we, He's not revealing himself. We can't see him because we are not looking. Okay. We are spiritually blind in many ways. That's why, you know, the Bible says God is light. And when the light shines in the darkness goes away. But we are people walking in darkness. God is in control. Okay, during the time Elijah of famine, I mean, it's terrible famine. Okay, people are starving, especially children are starving there. And to know that you are responsible for that because you obey God. Okay, we know, we look around and see people are dying from the COVID. People are, businesses are failing, people are out of job, people are starving. But we have to know that God is in control. Okay, we have to trust God that he has a plan. This is not something that is he didn't foresee, not something that is out of his control, that God is in control. And that is something I believe Elijah lost along the way. That along the way that he was serving God, but in a way he lost God. And so do we can at times that we can lose God. And God shows his plan by saying, receive. Go back the way you come. And see, I already planned for all the solution to this problem. Okay, the enemy king, your evil king, and yourself, your stress. I have solutions to all of them because I'm God. Okay. And I think that, you know, Julian of Norwich is one of the English mystics. And she lived during the time of the plague in Britain. So she knows what a pandemic is like. And she received certain visions of God, and it takes her about 30 years to try to process that. But in spite of all her suffering and pain, she has herself actually wore into the cell in the church in Norway. So she becomes a sort of hermit, and she can say that in one of her prayers, it says that all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. So that is what we learn from Elijah. That we learn that how do we deal with a pandemic fatigue? We learn that we need to rest. I think that's important. We learn that there is a personal choice. We can choose to succumb to the fatigue. That means we go crazy, or we get stressed out, or we choose to find God and follow Him and trust Him. So that's a personal choice. And there is a choice of talking to a friend, especially to God. Time, you have time now to pray, which you never had before. And also be in a group. That's why cell groups are so important. Small groups are so important. Fellowship group, okay? Even a group of friends are important because we need to talk to people. We need to talk to one another, to affirm one another. And you can do it through Zoom and Lark and Google Meet. It doesn't matter. As long as we communicate with each other, that's important. And we need to pray together. Okay? And discern. Okay? Especially in times of self-examination. You want to talk to your friends and say, oh, this is what God says is, am I going in the right direction? What do you think? So that's how we deal with fatigue. We do not let it overcome us, but we are overcomers. Now, some of us may need counseling, especially if you find that your anger is so bad that it becomes rage, or your anxiety in your fatigue is so bad that you can't even get out of bed. Maybe then you need to meet some counselor. And some of us may need medication to help us to cope over this period. Okay. So, yes, there are some lessons that we have learned from Elijah. And the lessons are very important on how to deal with the pandemic fatigue. Now, I just want to mention two other things before we stop. One is about suicides. Okay, suicides in the Bible, but the Bible actually doesn't talk much about suicide. There are about 7 persons who committed suicide. Okay, Abimelech, a counselor to David. Okay, he killed himself because, he's a bad king. Though he killed himself because somebody dropped a stone on his head, a millstone, and he says, oh no, I don't want to say a woman killed me. Okay, Samson, you know the story of Samson? He was blinded, so he commits suicide to topple the temple. Okay, Saul and his armor bearer. Okay, there's he too. Okay, the armor bearer, seeing Saul commit suicide, he commits suicide too. That's why he's 7. Okay, Ahithophel, the counselor to David. Zimri, who burned himself because he refused to be captured. And Judas Iscariot. So what does the Bible is? The question is asked, is suicide the unforgivable sin? Okay. I think nowhere in the Bible actually talks about suicide being the unforgivable sin. The proof text people always use is Mark chapter 3, verse 23 to 30. But what it actually says is that the people who are calling Jesus the devil, okay, the sin against the Holy Spirit, that is the unforgivable sin. Not just committing suicide because of your emotional problem. But that doesn't mean that we should all commit suicide, okay? Just want to highlight that, you know, it's not an unforgivable sin, but it is, we can work it out. There are different ways we can work it out. And suicide is an issue, especially during this time of pandemic. So I just want to highlight that, you know, we need to be aware and be aware of the warning signs so that we can pick it up and ask for help. Okay, especially during this pandemic, especially during you're feeling the fatigue and the what, you need to watch out for one another. Okay, and you find that, now, these are some of the signs that we need to be aware of so that if somebody is suicidal, we know, okay, to call the pastors or the elders to prevent somebody from making the greatest mistake of their life. Okay, here are some of the counseling services in JB itself. Okay, of course, Befrienders is actually all over the world, nationwide. So if you are, these are JB numbers. Okay. Pusat Counseling. Okay. National Association of Christian Counselors. Now, here. Okay. I think I'm blocking. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Okay. It's the one in Full Gospel Church. So there is certain counseling places you can go. Of course, you can always call our pastors. Now, there's actually something interesting that I want to highlight is nowadays we have what we call chatbox apps, which are actually artificial intelligence, okay, that can give some sort of counseling. Okay, you know, hey, Alex, want to check in? Sure. How are you feeling at this moment? Oh, I'm highly stressed out at work. Sorry to hear that, Alex. It's been a stressful time for you today. So actually, these are actually responsive. Okay, they actually learn from your responses. So it's quite interesting. Now, these are some of the examples that you can try. Okay, they actually all the apps will tell you, okay, maybe you should try some breathing exercise, try to relax, try to do mindfulness, practicing gratitude. So it can be helpful. Okay, and this is some people prefer to talk to the machine rather than the human. So if you prefer to talk to human machines, this is another option for you. So in conclusion, okay, take care of yourself. Okay, in conclusion, take care of yourself. And I just want to end with this beautiful photo of a rainbow taken this morning. Okay, I'm recording this on Wednesday. This morning, and you see the rainbow over our administrative capital, over the Hall of Justice. Let's pray. Father, we just want to commit our life into your hands, Lord. Father, you know our state, how our mind and our mental health is at this moment. And you know some of us are facing issues and challenges. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to work among us, to heal us. Father, we pray in Jesus' name.